R&R Foundation Specialist delivers unmatched waterproofing solutions backed by decades of trusted experience. As a family-owned team, we provide honest, thorough evaluations with no hidden fees, just expert craftsmanship and proven results. Whether you're dealing with leaks, moisture, or drainage issues, our specialists have the tools and knowledge to protect your home from the ground up. No shortcuts, no surprises, just reliable service from your local foundation and waterproofing experts. Visit rrfoundationspecialist.com to schedule your assessment today.
Los Angeles, Wednesday, December 14th. I am shooting my special at the Dynasty Typewriter Theater. The first show is sold out. Thank you so much. There are very few tickets left for the second show. Get them now. Use code SICKLER at checkout. You're going to get half off your tickets. Thank you so much. Come on out. Let's sell them both out. Have some fun. I'll be there shooting my first special. You'll be a part of it. I can't thank you all enough. Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'll be there December 9th and 10th. Get your tickets for those shows on my website at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. And as I always say, thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for the love. Thank you for the messages. It means the world. If you are watching this, please hit that damn subscribe button, y'all. Just hit it. It helps the show tremendously. And if you got to have more, then you got to check out the Patreon. I will preach it every week. It is the Honeydew with y'all, where I'm highlighting the lowlights with y'all, and nobody's got stories like y'all. It's the wildest show on Patreon. It's $5 a month. You sign up for a year, you get over a month free, and you get the Honeydew a day early. You get it ad-free. You get it at no additional cost, all right? If you or someone you know has that story that has to be heard, please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com, and hopefully we get to do an episode together. All right. If you guys are in town when I'm on tour, come on out and see me. Chicago, November 11th and 12th, and Grand Rapids, December 9th and 10th. Now, that's the biz. You guys know what we do over here. We highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. Today, very excited to have this guest here. First time on the Honeydew, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Nick Simmons. Welcome to the Honeydew, Nick.
Thanks.
Thank you for
being
here.
Do I clap also?
You can, bro. You can.
Sorry.
Some people clap for themselves. I'm a big fan of people clapping themselves in.
I think I'm the opposite. I go, all right, settle down.
I did Todd Glass's podcast years ago, and he's so all over his style, but you'll do 15 or 20 minutes, and he's like, okay, now we're going to introduce you. I'm like, wait, we're doing the introduction
oh,
now?
God.
He's like, yeah. So he goes, and you have two choices.
I heard Diaz does that too.
You can sit here, and you can just be introduced like this, or, and he used to record where there was these stairs up here, and he had a band, a little band in there. Yeah, in the small room, like with this. And he goes, or you can be played in. And
I was like, on standby?
Yeah, just right
they're
here.
Just, he pays them just to
they
say
played,
it.
Yeah. And I was like, I can be played in right now.
And that like, Tosh.0 yeah. money's really.
I was like, bro, play me in, man.
I did love his terrible prank show. You ever see that? Todd Glass's terrible prank show. And nobody laughs. And he's like, ha ha, you know, your baby's dead or whatever the fuck he was doing. And people were like, why would you do this? Todd Glass's terrible prank show.
Well, before we get into your stories today, please plug, promote everything you want.
I literally can't, but I can. I'm on social. Nick T. Simmons is my Instagram. I'm pretty much on there exclusively, but I literally can't. I've been releasing stuff and doing stuff under a couple pseudonyms for the past like 4 or 5 years.
Is that right?
And so it's out there. I'm just not ready to be under me yet. But if you follow me, I'll eventually talk about it. But yeah, it's going really well. And I really like that nobody knows it's me. So.
That's, so you have something going on.
It's already out and it's been happening.
And it's been just happening and no one knows who it's the me. Real.
But it's good. It's
Are
it's
you
been...
stand up Batman, bro?
Stand up. No, I would never do stand. Don't worry. I'm not going to do stand up. You can all relax. It's not happening.
Okay. Well, great then. Fine.
But yeah, just follow me. I'll post it. Maybe I'll call you back and see if you'll have me back on at some point if you,
of course,
like me after today.
All right. Well, first of all, thank you for being here. I recently met you. I had no idea you were even a fan or anything, and you'd even said
mega
you've been,
fan.
You've been to my. That's crazy. Thank you.
Since the top for all of you guys, all the YMH and extended families, for since like early microphone on the couch days.
That's crazy, yeah. Dude. That's wild to me. And you're like, I've been to your stand-up shows. I'm like, how did I miss?
Yeah,
how tall are you?
Well, I'm sitting.
Yeah, but still, you get up and leave.
I'm all leg. When I sit down, it's all.
Bro, you're six, what, six?
6'8".
How the fuck did I ever miss you?
You know what I heard? I heard that Trump's youngest kid is my height. Isn't that the weirdest thing?
Really?
Like Barron, the kid, and he has like a baby face.
Isn't
he's
young?
He's 6'8". Already, apparently.
Fuck.
It's alarming. Because he's still got like a baby face.
Yeah, child, 6'8" child.
Yeah, very strange. Anyway.
It was great to meet you. And you know, like, I don't know. I said to you before, you got to be tired of talking about your dad. But I do want to say something about your dad. So I got to meet him because of you. Thank you very much. Because that is, you know, I grew up in that era. And I got to see your dad when they put the makeup back on in Madison Square Garden. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to get
that. Was it 99, something like that?
Yeah, right around there.
I think I was
it might have been before. Was it 99?
99, I remember there was like a Halloween show they did in makeup with Ace and Peter, I think.
At Madison Square Garden.
So I think that might have been part of that tour.
311 got booed off stage. It was great. It was great. I was in college. This had to be 90.
What festival was this?
311? It wasn't. It was just Kiss is putting the makeup back on. And
311's opening?
I think they kicked the tour off in Madison Square Garden when they first put the makeup back on. And I was like,
I think I was really young.
Going.
I don't know if I remember. Yeah. Madison Square, I probably wasn't there.
We drove up from Baltimore to watch. And
this isn't the time you got a concussion, right?
No, man. That was the Eagles.
If that was my...
I should have got my ass beat at that.
If that was my dad's fault, I was about to feel real bad. I know that story really well.
It was, actually. No.
It was dad's tour bus backed over you.
This was a great fucking, it was a great concert to see that. But he comes in and he's complimenting me, you know, and then he's asking me about my fucking writing process.
Did he
and
run
everything.
Street jokes by you?
No street
he
jokes.
He did that to Tom.
He did one. He did do one Tom. And it was great. He goes, Ryan.
Was it great?
What? He goes, what's 10 inches in Jewish? And I go, what? He goes, nothing.
All right. That's one of the.
That was good.
That's not as bad.
It was good.
He launched. I talked to Tom. I talked to Segura about this like 2 days ago. And he was like, yeah, dads are always just dads, huh? Like he was like, he reminds me of my like top dog. He reminds me of
right.
And I was like, he didn't do street jokes. He goes, he launched immediately into like five street jokes immediately because he thinks that's what Tom goes. He thinks that's what I do for a living. He thinks that that's.
Could you imagine
the
if
job?
We walked up to him and just started singing songs or some
what?
Shit? Right?
He's like, what the fuck are you doing?
What are you doing? Listen.
By the way, I think they have, but. But, like, that's a certain generation's idea of stand-up. They think, hey, she's a broad. She's a dame. Knock, knock. You know, it's
take my wife, please, shit, too. And it just blew my mind because all I could say, I called my friend and I'm like, you don't even know. He's like, what? I go, Gene Simmons comes up to me last night and he's talking to me about my process. And I'm like, are you talking to me about my creative process right now? And your dad's like, yeah. And I was like, I was you for Halloween for 2 years.
All I could say. I was
but haven't you noticed that about musicians and comedians? I feel like musicians are all fascinated by comedians and
they
vice
are,
versa.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
like
yeah.
Dean Del Rey just told me about this Bon Scott tribute he does every year, and it's going to happen this month, I guess. They're all like, it's this weird cross-genre looking over the fence at each other admiration thing that I've noticed. Like every musician I know is like a massive, you know, loves Burr and all these guys. Well, I love hearing like the musicians are out on the road listening to, because I get
they
it.
Do.
You're tired of music. So you're over here listening to comedians. I'm tired of listening to comedians.
All
I'm
my
over
friends,
here listening to music. You
all,
know?
All my friends who are in studio, like my sister is a top liner. She writes for herself, but she also writes for other people. She writes like pop songs for people because pop stars can't write for shit. And so she says like, you know, after a long day of the studio, you want to listen to like maybe classical or talk, like you don't want to hear like yet another chorus verse.
Right.
It's just your brain gets fried. So for an afternoon, and I find the same thing when I was jamming around town, you get burnt a little bit. And I find comedians too, like they're like, I don't want to watch my friend's set. I had it go because I don't want to like poach material or I don't want to like get influenced. And it gives me anxiety because I remember what bombing's like if they don't do well. It's like, there's a weird, yeah. And I know a lot of musicians are like, I could never do that about comedy because it's there's no backup. There's no like bassist. If you fuck up, there's no bassist kind of carrying the tune. It's just you and your mouth.
Yeah.
Terrifying. I don't mind public speaking. I couldn't do stand-up. That's horrifying to me.
Yeah? Big of a fan as you are, you don't think you could?
I'm content being a fan. Yeah. Totally content. I don't want
to
do it.
I like hearing that, to be honest with you.
Everyone in L.A. wants to do the thing. Yeah. I could do that. No, you fucking can't. Stop.
You could do it bad.
Yeah. Everyone could do a shit job.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about you because, you know, I was thinking about this. Have you ever considered the amount of loads your father shot out of his dick and the billions of sperm that must have gone?
I expected this from Christina,
you
not from you.
You turned into a human.
See, I expected this.
Your odds are. Listen, your dad fucked way more than my dad.
I feel like Segura is about to pop in and say, I've been punked. This is clear YMH vibes, what's coming out of your mouth right now.
I have thought about it. Like,
Jesus Christ.
The odds of you turning into life.
Hey, listen,
less than a regular person.
You don't know that. Dad's just on record as talking about it. Every other dad could be in Cabo.
Maybe there's a couple other dudes.
It still counts if they're not like hot enough to brag about. It still counts. If he didn't tell you the story, he still did it. You don't know.
It's a lot of loads, I got to imagine.
Keep saying that. That's cool. Keep saying it over and over again. It's fine. It's already saying it once. It's the same as saying it twice.
The odds are billions. Billions.
I think each load is like trillions. So
I mean, technically, man.
It's quintillions.
And you made it out here on this rock in outer space. How about that?
I know.
Good for you,
I beat
man.
The Nobel
you
Prize
beat the
guy.
Crazy I beat odds. Your odds are crazy.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thanks. So
I didn't do the swimming. Like, it was a pretty autopilot.
I know. He shot it, but still. Still.
You missed your opportunity at a Love Gun joke there. And I'm really disappointed. I'm disappointed. Shooting.
What if your dad makes us take this out?
No.
That'd be hilarious.
And yeah. I wrote an article once for Vice called My Dad's Full of Shit. He didn't take that down, so I think he'll be fine.
He didn't?
No.
I'll go for
it. It was a loving Father's Day article at the end. It was just a funny title.
All right. You're born into this life. Your dad's Gene Simmons, your mom, Shannon Tweed. Your sister's older or younger?
Younger, 3 years
younger. And it's just the two of you.
Yep.
What age do you realize this isn't fucking what everyone else is doing?
Well, I don't really know because I went to public school until about ninth grade.
Is that right?
Just normal, yeah.
And out here in California?
We switched. Yeah. I went to Warner Avenue and then Emerson Middle School for a little while. And then Emerson I didn't like. I didn't really get it. I was like, you know, nerdy, artistic kid. And it was like people were like, you're a jocker, you're a loser, basically. Kind of like typical American high school vibes there. So then I went to I totally switched gears and went to this like super liberal, you know, kind of private school. Not like uniform formal. It was very like hippie casual, but there was like tons of other sons and daughters of people there. So you would think like, oh, we'd all become, you know, ego monsters in that place. But actually it had the opposite effect because if you bring it up needlessly, you're like that kid. It's like, yeah, we all have, shut up. Like so it was kind of like this weird level playing field where like, you're not going to bring it up because Eddie Murphy's daughter is next to you. So like, you're not going to like, did you know that my dad, blah, blah, blah. It's like, then they'd be like, yeah, we all have that. Shut up. Like, you're not special. So nobody talked about it. We just acted
my
like.
My dad's John Oates, man. Yeah, ain't nobody over here bragging.
Oh, my God. I didn't think about it at the time. Like, at the time, you just don't think about it. They're just your friends at school.
Yeah.
But after I went to college, I was like, wait a second. So we had, I grew up with Cooper Hefner.
Okay.
He's one of one of my best friends.
Okay.
And let's see. Georgia Ford was my classmate, Harrison Ford's daughter.
Okay.
Two of Eddie Murphy's children, the Willis children were in jazz band with me. Like one of them was, and Ashton Kutcher used to pick her up from school. But like,
so
that
if you
was
start an, talking, you're just,
well, then you're just like
that
guy
point.
Who's like, all right, settle the fuck down. Like, what do you think you're like? You didn't do anything. It's just, you know, so you, everyone played normal and it eventually just felt normal. And it was a very small school, like not a lot of people. So I don't know. Like, I didn't, I think I really noticed when the show started, I think, because then I started getting attention. My parents kept me pretty normal kid vibes for most of it. I went to, I didn't miss school for anything. Like, if dad's on tour, that's tough shit. You're not going. You're going
to
school.
Is that right?
Yeah, no, we didn't skip out on town and just to do, like, crazy bougie stuff. And he's not a very, like, object-oriented person. So he doesn't wear, like, flashy. It's funny because he doesn't wear flashy clothes.
It is hilarious. His alter ego.
But he wears, like, free hats. Like, you know, like, someone will give him a hat for free, and that'll be his hat for the next 10 years.
Yeah, he came in very unassuming. I think it was a black hat and maybe a black jacket.
And someone
pants.
Gave him that hat one day, and he'll wear it till it falls apart. He's that guy. He doesn't care about stuff. He cares about money, but he cares about what money represents, which is like a wall between him and that poverty he used to experience. So that's like whenever he forgets to mention that, so he comes off like a dickbag all the time. But when he talks about like, I love money, what he's really saying is like, it got me out of, you know, my shitty apartment in Harlem with my mom. And now I got her a house and can afford her doctors. So it's like, that's the real story. It's just not as cool to say for him.
Sure.
But yeah, so he's not like, I didn't have much of a sparkly until the show started, and then I got a certain amount of attention, and then I was like, what's happening?
Okay, so show started, you said you were around
like
16.
It must have been. I must be getting that
But up until then, they're able to keep you pretty distant from the whole Kiss phenomenon, or
not
do you
distant.
Know?
I mean, I knew. I mean, it's not like, it wasn't a secret. It wasn't deliberate. It was just they were determined that I have a normal day-to-day life. So like we talked about it, and he'd show me stuff that he was doing, but I didn't go to Europe for 4 months when I was 8. You know what I mean? Like, and some, you know, musician kids of do that. He was like, no, you're going to school and you're finishing school. And then when you're an adult, you do whatever you want. So I think I jumped on one leg of a tour with him when I was in my 20s.
I was going to say, what's the first time?
I went to shows. I went to shows when I was a baby, like one off. Like if he played in LA, I'd go to the show. But I wouldn't like road trip with him.
The first time you remember seeing your dad do all that shit, blow fire?
No, I mean, I was too young to remember. I have pictures of me as like a little...
Oh, you're there as a baby.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, whenever he's in town, we go see him. We're all very closely knit, so... But I think
16.
They did a good job not making me... I didn't go to the... my mom and dad aren't very party people, which is weird to think also. But either they got it out of their system when they were younger, probably, or they just didn't want to push the kids into that. So I'm kind of grateful because I've met the offspring of the people who party with their parents and they're not great.
Yeah.
They're scary.
So what's it like when it first starts hitting you at 16? What are you getting? Are you getting a lot of female attention? You're getting
some.
A lot
I mean,
like-
I was a nerdy kid and I've always felt like I was tall right away. So I was, but well, not in like a cool athletic way. In like, I don't know what to do with my arms way. I was fucking... knocking shit over, and I'm like, oh, I guess that's how far I go now. That's cool.
That's my
and then
wingspan.
I like, and then chest hair comes, and you're like, no, and you don't know what's happening. You're like, I want to look like, you know, Timberlake or whatever was the contemporary example. So I felt really nerdy and awkward, and like, I used to see this is Honeydew stuff, so I'll tell you like the embarrassing shit.
Yeah,
so
I know.
I used to, sweat out of my armpits, kind of like I'm probably going to do in this room, but like a lot as when I first hit puberty. Like I used to, and it was only social anxiety. It wasn't like I didn't sweat a lot when I ran track or whatever. I just.
Oh, is that right?
No,
you
I
would actually.
No, I didn't run track, but like PE.
But when you would work out or whatever, exert,
not much. I
but
just,
you wouldn't.
I had nervous sweats. So I used to like go to the bathroom a number of times each class and like wipe and like put my shirt under the dryer thing. And it got so bad that I like went to my mom and I was like, I can't stop. Like, I can't wear other type. That's why I wear black all the time now, because I got used to just doing, because I couldn't wear like white. They would see like a puddle because I was so nervous. I didn't know how to talk to anybody. And my mom brought me in and she says, you know, you can get Botox shots in your armpits and it'll stop you from sweating. And I went to the doctor and he's like, yeah, you have like overactive glands. I'm like, sick, sexy. That's cool. Girls love overactive glands. That sounds really hot. It's great. I'm going to be super popular. So I got like 8 shots
You're
in each.
Tall as shit.
Yeah, super tall, dripping on people. Yeah, disgusting. And it's like, no, you can see like beads on my forehead. And I'm like raising my hand in class and people are like, do you run here? And I'm like, no, I'm just. Can't talk to people. I just don't know how to talk to.
Just terrified to answer your question.
There's a woman. there's a girl next to me, and she looked at me once, and so now I have to go to the bathroom, and fucking dab. So Botox shots, and it solved it for like a number of months. Yeah.
Okay.
It does work.
It does work.
Yeah, but it hurts.
All right. Well, let's go back to what. Why are you so nervous? What was it about?
I don't know. How to talk.
School or.
I'm a nerdy kid. I don't know.
It wasn't about girls. This was about anything.
Anybody. Like
you wouldn't
anybody
raise your
cool.
hand and speak in class.
No, I spoke. Like, okay. I think I run my mouth when I'm nervous. So I wasn't super quiet. I was like, I'll try to be funny. Like, and then it didn't work. And I would go, I'm going to go kill myself. And I was that guy. I think probably a lot of comedians are like that. Like the first attempt at comedy is to be, you know, social circle maneuvering of some kind. You try to be. Try to be funny so that they like you.
Can't be the cool kid. I want to be like the jock.
Got to be funny.
About to get your ass beat.
And I don't think I was funny.
Make them laugh.
I wasn't funny. I was just trying to be funny and failing and being awkward. So, yeah. And I talked to some classmates of mine recently that I reconnected with, and they were like, no, we didn't think of you that way. Like, you're just a normal kid. It's mostly in your head. But in my head, it was a huge deal. And I had acne, like pretty severe, right before the show. I think I went on Accutane. Like the year before the show offered us a show, lucky timing. But I had like big, so I would be sweating with big. And I used to dress like White Hendrix. Like I used to fucking, I just thought like I had like scarves and beads. It's on the show. That
White Hendrix.
That was on the show. Like
that's
you'll see.
That's our motherfucking Photoshop right there, dude.
Yeah, don't Photoshop that too much.
Did you have? Did you have fucking fringe?
Oh yeah, no. Really? I did fringe. White I did Hendrix. Like wizard sleeves sometimes.
Yeah,
I found.
Trumpet
sleeves. I would thrift store shop all the time because I got into 70s music hard when I went to
and
high school.
And the outfits too. Huh?
Oh yeah, I loved.
White
Jagger
is
and
the funniest
I used
guy
to try to dress like Morrison. I wore the big belt and I used to dress tons of beads and Steven Tyler and all these guys. And honestly, the old man, when he was younger, when he took the makeup off, he gave me some of his old crap.
I was about to ask you, did he have anything still around that
What's
you
funny,
could wear?
He and I had the same taste. So like he and I both liked the generation before him. So like British Invasion, which is what he grew up listening to. So I started liking that too. So he was like, oh, you got to see this. You got to see this. He started. That's some of the bonding, but I just used to dress insane. I wish I went to a school with a uniform. It would have saved me some interesting photos
back then. Hilarious.
So it's on the show. You'll see some outfits if they ever go back and rerun, which they do occasionally.
Do that.
You'll see me like full bell bottoms and like cowboy boots and then
like, there's that
Mr. T level beads. Like,
nah, Mr. T level.
The amount of time. I would just pick up whatever. Like if I found something, I'd just put it on me.
Your neck
and like clip it to me. Yeah.
Start getting a horn. Back there.
I had sideburns. I did sideburns. I thought that was cool.
Man, I can't wait.
Yeah.
But just growing up in front of a camera, what the fuck is that like?
Not the whole time. I mean, before the show.
Is it a Monday to Friday deal?
Weekends after school.
That's when you're being
after
shot.
After school Friday and weekends, yeah.
But your parents are every day, right?
It's whenever they're doing something. They're not sitting around filming you when you're idle.
Okay.
We got
they're not living in your home.
No.
Okay.
But we got pretty good at telling them when we were going to do something. So at the beginning, they try to fake the whole thing because that's cheaper for the production company. So they want to like fake the entire thing. They want to tell you what to say. And that's just like an easier way to know they'll get the content they want. And me and my mom especially, we're just like, I don't want to fucking do that. That feels disgusting. That feels gross. I'm not an actor. Mom's like, I don't want to act as myself, so no.
Yeah.
So I just told them, like, look, if you're going to fake something, just don't tell me, and at least my reaction will be real. So like, they did this thing. I think I talked about this on Christina's. Like, they towed my car, and they said, like, your car got towed. You parked in a red or whatever, and I panicked, and then they were like, no, we've got your car. It's fine. Like, we just moved it to get the story point.
You run down the street
because I had just gotten my license.
Right, yeah, you motherfucker.
Bell bottoms. Yeah. You son of a bitch. No. And I was like, you know,
they're
so
giving you
six, seven.
Why are you fucking giving a 16-year-old kid anxiety in White Hendrix outfit right here?
With everyone watching.
About his car being towed. That's just fucked up. It's cool.
No, I told them not to tell me. So they would have told me if I hadn't told them not to tell me. I didn't want to act. I'm not an actor. I don't want to be an actor. So I didn't want to like, yep, this is my life. And they're just like, it's total bullshit. So I at least wanted it to be a, you know, three quarters bullshit. You know, it was like
rooted in truth, at least.
At least what I'm doing is real. Sure. Like, I'm reacting the way I'm reacting for real. At least I'm not like, pretend you're scared.
Oh, no,
like,
my car is towed.
No. So I was like, I'll take the weird moments of fear as long as I don't have to pretend that I'm living this lie. So, yeah, it was an interesting thought process for a teenager to go through, considering as a teenager you're already kind of putting masks on and trying them on. Yeah. And then masks all the way down. And you
also
forget.
You're growing up the child of two famous people, and now you're on TV.
Yeah, it was interesting.
What, looking back on it, what would you say is the biggest challenge of growing up literally in front of the camera?
The thing is like at first as a teenager, you love the good press, like, or you love the good reactions. Right? So this was like the beginning of social media. I think this is like MySpace days, maybe Facebook, actually early Facebook days. I think I graduated in 07 high school. That's gotta be like Facebook days. Anyway, you see people, your Facebook blows up and you kind of go, oh. And then you're like, now you're a public profile. You're not just like, here's my friends and family. And then you kind of go, and I don't think there was a template for this yet. I don't think the verified badge existed yet. I didn't think this whole ecosystem really existed yet. So I was just like, oh, they love me. And then people are calling me cute. And they like, girls are calling me cute and older women, which was alarming.
I wanted to ask about that because you're underage too at the time. Yeah.
But I was tall and had, you know, this super inappropriate older parent that was always on record being super inappropriate, not with me, but in general, his vibe. So yeah, I got some interesting, but again, it's like, you know, they say, don't Google yourself, read your YouTube comments, because if you take the good ones seriously, then you got to take the bad ones seriously. So the moment I got any hatred, which of course happens when you're on television or anything, I was devastated, just like, and then I stopped Googling myself entirely and haven't since then. First time I saw a Google page with my face on it was at Christina's podcast.
Is that right?
When she put it on the thing.
And I was like,
this is cool. I'm going to talk to my therapist about this feeling I'm having.
This feeling
I haven't seen this page with what I'm up to in a long time. Oh, that's the photo they chose. That's cool. I'm going to jump off this fucking bridge. This is cool.
The worst
Glad
ones
they,
and shit.
Oh, it's always like, Nick Simmons was a thing on this. And they show you a photo like, and you're kind of like, that's the one? The algorithm was like, that's the one.
Here's a question I'd like to ask you because you're perfect for this. Well, I know without even fame or anything, people have children and they just put their kids on social media. Look at my little kid here, blah, blah, blah. It's cute, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then that kid's going to grow up one day and that kid may want to be anonymous. That kid may never want to have a social media profile, nor would they ever have, but you've already put them on. So a lot of people in your world sort of know who they are and know their world. For someone who's been in the, even without that TV show, you're already the son of these two people. Do you ever long for, and I can't say the goddamn word right.
Anonymity?
Thank you, brother.
I remember this about you. You can't say anonymity. I remember this. You've mentioned this before. This is a word you always get to.
Anonymity. Do you long for it ever?
Yeah.
Or are you used to your world?
No. I think I have a pretty good, I'm glad I only got like this much taste of quote unquote, it's not fame, but it's like being a known person.
Popularity.
I got like that much. Like I'm a, you know, if you're in the vague, you know, orbit of dad and his stuff, but dad's the one who's actually famous. I'm not actually famous. So my life is fairly normal. I don't get harassed. I get like TMZ'd a couple times a year. Now, and on the show, it was like once a week.
Was it really?
Because it was on the air at the time. So after the show, it really calmed down. And especially in this town, there's like bigger fish to fry. So nobody really gives a fuck. I mean, I can pretty much go about my day not being bothered most of the time. I can always tell when there's like news about one of us because they'll bother me more. And I'll be like, all right, what did he say? Like,
oh,
what?
Yeah. Oh, you, it comes
was
to
he
you.
On CNN? What did he fucking, say? Weighing in on topics he has no expertise in whatsoever. What the fuck? Hi, I play bass, and here's what I think of the Iran-Contra. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, why did they ask you this? Well, because I'm very well-spoken. It's like, this is the problem. This is our problem. Like, if a guy speaks with authority and has some attention on him,
yeah,
we'll give him microphones.
What he's talking about. Yeah,
no, right. They fucking no, don't. They fucking I don't. Don't listen to me. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
How do you stay grounded? How do you stay
taking advice from Rogan on medicine? He's a comedian. Shut the fuck. He's just talking shit. Well, he said to do this. Don't listen to him.
Yeah. Like you don't have to
never,
do it.
He never said he wasn't just a comedian. He's always being like, I talk a lot of shit. I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, I thought you weighed in on this debate. He's not part of the debate.
But I'm also allowed to have an opinion and be completely out of my mind with it.
You're allowed to say whatever the fuck you want. Yeah. No one has to. The responsibility is to all of us and our literacy in deciding what we want to. At the end of the day, your choices are yours, man. Whatever dad tells you to
like
do.
You don't like it, turn it off.
If my dad tells you to do something and you do it and it goes badly, that's you.
You're not even
that's
listening.
You. He was just talking.
I'll be like, what are his kids doing? That's what I really want to do. The people who live with him all
the
time.
I don't even understand why anyone gives a fuck about what we were. I mean, why the show happened. Because, I love Zeppelin. I don't give a fuck what Paige's kids are doing tonight. I don't really get it. Like, I never watched shows like that, really. And I'm grateful it, like, allowed me to be financially independent from a young age. And it opened a lot of doors for me. So I'm grateful that people give a shit. But I don't know why.
But it was on the air for how many years?
Like 7 or 8 or something.
So that's a big deal in your life. You're going from
almost a decade.
A teenager learning how to drive.
And dress.
Right. Yeah, and dress. And you're also 10th, 11th grade. Such an awkward time for you.
The whole time, basically.
And then all the way into early.
Looking at colleges while they were filming me going to college.
Early manhood and everything. Like, fuck, what a transition.
I think
what
I had arrested
time
development.
To get you, you
I, don't,
know?
I don't think I had early manhood.
It's different for your dad. I mean, I know, whatever, the age, your mom too. Like, they're 10 years. They're already established and doing it. You're growing up there like that.
Yeah, no. I mean, and you know, dad did it on purpose. I didn't know this thing was going to go.
What do you
for
mean he did it on purpose?
Like, he did a band and he I was like 16 and they said, hey, you want to be on a thing? And I said, okay. And I thought they'd film a season and get bored of us because none of us do heroin. And it was not exciting. Yeah. Like, I don't know what is exciting about us, really. But, it just kept going and people really liked it. And I kind of didn't know what to do next. I was going to move to New York and I couldn't because it got renewed. I was like, the show got renewed. So this is an opportunity. And they didn't force me. They were like, hey, if you don't want to do the show anymore, we don't have to. And then I was like, but this is too, I have money now and I have doors that open for me. And honestly, that's sometimes a blessing and a curse, I think, at a young age. I think when everyone says yes to you at a young age, I think you do things that you shouldn't. You're not qualified for.
I agree.
I think you should be told no in order to get good at anything.
Yes.
I think if I wanted a stand-up career, they would have just get like, oh, go to the Apollo tonight. Like they would have just like while I was on the show because they see dollar signs and they don't have that moment where you're like, oh, he doesn't actually have the skill set to do that.
Right.
So I'm really glad I didn't do like an album because they wanted to. They wanted to do an album. I did various things that I shouldn't have done because I was like, they were like, you're great. You're awesome.
Also
you're
16,
awesome. You're great. It's
17.
Great. Let's put it out the way right. you yes. love. And I was like, cool. Okay. And I don't know enough to say, no, I should probably get better at this before I should probably hone my, no, they're just like, let's do it.
How do you stay grounded? How do you stay?
I don't know if I am.
Well, you sound very grounded to me. You sound very reasonable. You sound very.
People say that a lot. I don't know. I think I'm pretty paranoid.
Of?
In everything. Like,
just going blanket with everything.
Well, I mean, I used to, like, people used to be outside of, when I lived at home as a kid, growing up on the show and as a teenager, there used to be, like, people outside the gate sometimes, like, at night.
Oh, just
waiting. Like, fans waiting in their car. Like, they knew our address somehow. And I've had a number of alarming experiences like that.
What's the most scary one? Most terrifying?
Well, there's the most scary one that ever happened, and there's one that happened to me. The most scary one that ever happened before I was born. My mom was pregnant with me, and they were in a New York hotel. I think dad's told this story. And this woman knocked on their hotel room door and then mom answered, she ran away. And then she came back and knocked again and my dad answered and she said, do you want me to kick her in the stomach for you?
Whoa.
So if she had decided to just do it, I wouldn't be here. And she just thought like, oh, he doesn't want kids. I'll take care of that for him. Like I'll take the bullet because he's my hero.
I love him. He's mine. Fuck. What happened to you?
Me, I had a, there was like this crazy woman, I guess. I mean, I assume she's crazy. She was just making a lot of crazy noise. And so my parents' old place, they've moved, but my parents' old place had like a call box and then like, you know, a driveway. And then like there was space behind the call box and like shrubbery and then like a gate. So I pulled up, I was with a friend in the passenger seat and I pulled up and it was raining. and this woman with a plastic bag over her head.
Just a
for
plastic
the, for
bag.
The rain, I think. She had no umbrella. She ran up to my, as I was kind of about to roll it down to like punch in the code, she ran up to the window and kind of like slammed on the window like this and then went like this and was like, yeah! And I was like, ah! And
she's,
And it was raining and it was like a horror movie. And my friend in this passenger seat was like, Jesus Christ. And he just, and she didn't go away. She was like really trying to like come out here. And I don't know if she meant me any harm, but she was clearly like, the way she was yelling was a little unhinged. So either it was fanism or it was like mental illness. And so she only went away. I typed 911 into my phone and showed it to her. And so she was like, oh, no. It's like, didn't even occur to her that I was disturbed, even though I was screaming. And then she jumped back in her car and I, you know, I did fight or flight things. So I was scared and then I was angry. So I floored it and like followed her car and I made my friend write down the license number. And that was like his second time hanging out with me.
He's like, fuck.
He's one of my best friends to this day. And he's like, that was my crash course on you. And I'm like, I'm amazed you're still here, man.
Damn.
So I've had a couple. That was like the scariest one. But I just had people like, I'm going to school and then they're there. And there's like somebody with their kids with cameras. And again, like, we're not even that. I can't imagine what like Tom Cruise's daily life is like, because I'm this big. His cultural footprint and his fame is, I have like a teeny tiny little corner of the media world that I was in for a second. Can you imagine what it's like to be like famous?
And I don't want it.
Like, that's why they have like these guys walk around with bodyguards and stuff. It's just like,
your dad have a bodyguard?
No.
Never?
I mean, yes. Tons. They're always hiding in the bushes. I really shouldn't say he does it. Yeah, he's fine. Go kill him. No, he's not like as vigilant because I think in the day, I think he was surrounded by staff. And I think you do that when it's like a lot of young people all at once just discovered you and are trying to get at you. So anyway, so I just like caught that was all for him. That wasn't for me. You know what I mean? The crazy people at the gate.
Right, sure.
So I live a pretty normal life. Like, I know. And I like my privacy now. So that's my paranoia.
There is nothing quite like the smell of fresh baked bread coming out of the oven, especially on a chilly morning during the holidays. This is not a dream, my friend. This can all be yours, courtesy of Wild Grain. Wild Grain is the first baked from frozen box for artisanal bread, so you'll always have crowd-pleasing bread, rolls, pastries, pastas, and more right in your freezer. Wild Grain uses only clean ingredients and utilizes a slow sourdough fermentation process that's healthier for you and tastes better than anything you can find in a grocery store. Every item bakes from frozen in 25 minutes or less. This holiday season, Wild Grain is featuring delicious new limited time sweet treats such as pumpkin cinnamon rolls, orange cranberry biscuits, and chocolate avalanche croissants. All you have to do is sign up at wildgrain.com/honeydew and choose which type of box you want to receive and how often. It's easy to reschedule, skip, or cancel. I'm telling you, this is not some typical frozen bread and pasta. Everything comes out tasting so fresh and delicious, it's almost hard to believe you aren't putting in the hours of work to get it. Hungry already? For a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/honeydew to start your subscription. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/honeydew. That's wildgrain.com/honeydew. Or you can use promo code HONEYDEW at checkout. The struggles we face with our mental health can loom large over our lives. Maybe yours, maybe someone you love. You've tried everything, or have you? MindBloom is the solution for the next chapter in mental health and well-being. MindBloom is the leader in at-home ketamine therapy, offering a combination of science-backed medicine with clinician and guide support for people looking to improve their mental health and well-being. MindBloom connects patients to licensed psychiatric clinicians to help them achieve better outcomes with lower cost, greater convenience, and an artfully crafted experience. To begin, you take MindBloom's online assessment. MindBloom will send you a kit in the mail complete with medicine, treatment materials, and tips for getting the most out of your experience. After only two sessions, 85% of MindBloom clients reported improvements in depression and 85% reported improvements in anxiety. It is time to enter the next chapter in mental health and well-being. Let MindBloom guide you. Let me say this real quick. I'm about to start week five of this. I took it for anxiety, and I'm telling you, it is working for me. That's what I'll say. If you're looking for something different, it's working for me. A friend of mine also took it. She's already starting to get off of her anti-anxiety meds. So it's been a wild experience. It's been super deep, interesting. You should be ready to deal with, you know, some shit. Whenever you're working on your trauma, you got to think about your shit. And this has been, it's been absolutely life-changing, for real. All right? So right now, MindBloom is offering my listeners $100 off your first six-session program when you sign up at mindbloom.com/honeydew and you use the promo code honeydew at checkout. You go to mindbloom.com/honeydew, promo code honeydew for $100 off your first six-session program today. That's mindbloom.com/honeydew, promo code honeydew. Now, let's get back to the do. Tell me about, you said during the series, your parents almost split.
Oh, yeah.
And it was real. Like,
oh, yeah. This was the part that everyone thinks we faked, ironically, which is the most real season of them all.
So tell me about it.
I touched on this a little with Christina, but this was the story I was saving for you.
Thank you.
Because it was probably the worst year probably ever, and funny to look back on, which is your brand.
That's it, bro. That's it.
Can I just pause and say that I actually like honeydew and I don't get the hate?
Yeah, you can.
I like fruit cups and I think it's fine. What's the hate? What is this a thing that people hate?
It's not.
Everybody hates it?
I've explained it. So it's I don't think it's a hate.
People leave it behind.
It's just a
People just don't. They eat the blueberries and they leave it.
Yeah, strawberries, blueberries.
Was this a bit that you were doing? How did it?
It all came about from me sitting in a diner one night. I'm eating. I eat the fruit cup. I even eat the shitty red grape. I like green grapes, but I ate the fucking red one.
You don't like red grapes?
No, I don't care for them. But I ate them, and I leave the honeydew just because I just don't fuck with it. It's just like, it's never been like, yeah, I like cantaloupe. It doesn't even have the bite of cantaloupe.
I like it more than cantaloupe.
Okay. And as I leave, I see it everywhere on the tables. And I'm like, it's interesting. It's a perfectly good fruit that most people
leave behind,
toss aside. And then that's when it dawned on me that that's what I am in life.
I will say, fair enough. Like, they don't, that's not what you are in
that's
life.
That's what I am in life. People have thrown me away so many fucking times.
I don't think anyone who has a logo on the wall.
And over again. I turned that fucking refuse. Frown upside down,
yeah, that's
bro.
Right. That's right.
I leaned into that shit.
How do you think the rest of us do
but
it?
But people
right?
are like, oh, wrap bacon around them. If you got to wrap bacon around anything.
Wait. Wrap bacon around
people,
honeydew?
Yeah. People
this
tell me.
This is some Southern shit. This is
I don't know. People hit me up like, if you do this with it, I'm like, well, if you wrap bacon around anything almost.
Wrap bacon on my hand, I'll probably take a bite of it.
Fucking eat my finger.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to digress.
They're all good.
So I was like thinking about, it's like this food that's, the meme is, and I was like, I ate it this morning. Anyway.
It's funny, I had a whole fruit cup and no honeydew, and I had strawberries. I don't even like raspberries.
They took notes. They took.
I don't like raspberries. I don't like the pea in that motherfucker.
I don't like the fruit.
I saw like real.
And I don't like that pee in there.
I saw
either,
like real rage in your eyes. Like, it was like real, real resentment for that pee and raspberries.
Get the fuck out of here! With
you were
that.
Like, get the.
Anybody that pronounces the pee.
I saw like nom flashbacks in your eyes.
You're a lunatic.
Fucking raspberries. June 7th, 1991. I'll never forget.
91.
That pee and raspberries.
That's right.
Me.
I bet you I was days away from
God
graduating
damn it,
high
fucking
school.
Fucking raspberry. Anyway,
I was.
Stupid. Yeah, see, that's what it'd be like if I tried stand-up. Fucking Seinfeld shit like that. So, anyway, the show. What was I talking
about?
Parents. Oh, yeah, the parents. Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, the biggest thing that happened to me. So they, so dad had this image of like being a kind of, you know, a degenerate kind of groupie hound. But the whole time he was like on record being that dude at home, he was not like that, and he was on the show being super wholesome dad guy, and the part that nobody gets is that he really was a good dad and is, like, he's very attentive, very affectionate, very present, very even like the as much as he's on tour, when he's home, and we would call him all the time. So it was like there was this whole vibe of like my parents were perfect, like I just hit the jackpot. There is like most people I knew had some trouble at home of some kind because that's normal. And I was just the one that didn't. Like every, you know, I had friends from every stripes, every economic background, and the sons and daughters of people had the family shit. And like my best friend growing up was our housekeeper's name is Millie. And she also we call her like house manager because she also like babysat us and like hung out. Well, she was just like, she was the second mom. Mm-hmm. She raised me basically. And her son Walter was like my best friend growing up. So I'd stay over at her house like every other night. And even I saw them. She had problems with the dad. Everyone had something. And so I was like, wow, I'm just the rare exception to the rule.
Also,
my parents don't fight. They don't like nothing. It was just
And they're in the entertainment industry, which is a hard thing to pull off too.
Yeah.
Two people in it, not just one person.
Well, because it attracts fucking insane people.
Yeah.
So, and makes people insane. So, yeah. So I was just like, wow, what a jackpot. Not only is my life so nice, but my parents get along. My family all gets along. No one calls each other names. No one says, you bitch, or like, never. Like, our disagreements, we would talk it out, and they would be rare. And it's like, dad was always like, hey, what can we complain about? Another day above ground, life's good. It was nonstop, like, okay. My biggest drama ever was like, you hit your sister when you were 5, and now you're grounded. Just like, nothing bad ever happened to us. And then it turns out, not only was he philandering, he had been doing it since like after my sister was born up until that point.
Which is what year was your sister?
Math. Math on a microphone. 90s. She's 30. So that year. And
so
I have math anxiety.
Couple decades.
Do you ever have watch anxiety, like math or watching?
When you have to
I can do math perfectly good, but if someone's watching me do it, I turn into an eighth grader. Who hasn't learned his times tables yet? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I go, what time is it? I go, it's the and then when they walk away, I go, I got it.
Where are you? It's 5 minutes.
And they're like,
later,
dude, it's telling time. You should have been able to do that instantly. I go, but you were looking and so anyway, that's what just happened. So she's 30. I'm 33. And
So 20 years.
Yeah.
More.
Like, and only on to like as far as I know, tour. It was like they were throwing themselves at him or whatever, and he was saying yes.
And how did this all come out?
I think mom discovered like emails or something, or like arrangements or something. She, you know, somebody reached out to her, like some woman with a bone to pick, I think reached out to her. I didn't go into the details because I didn't want to know. Like, I didn't really want to know about his whole shtick. And I was well into never Googling us. So, you know, I think mom took me aside and like, all right, so here's what's going on. And she's a tough. So she took me aside like that. She's like, all right, so listen, with that tone of voice. And I was like, cool, we're going to go to the movies. Your dad's cheating me. And I kind of record scratch moment. And the show's just got renewed and we're about to do another season. So I was like, what do we do? And we go, well, let's meet with a producer. And producer is a guy named Adam. He's really nice to us. He was like a pal. He wasn't like shady Hollywood producer. We were lucky enough to like, we liked the people that produced the show. So they weren't like assholes. And he was like, yeah, if you don't want to address it on the show, we won't address it. And my mom just stood up and just said, like, fuck that. I want to address all of it. Let's go. She goes, if TMZ is going to get this, I want to put it out myself. Like, I'd rather nobody get the money from my scoop. Like, I'd rather just air my dirty laundry on my own terms and not let somebody else, you know, expose me. I'll fucking expose me. And I was like, wow, we're doing this. So there was a whole year of like an odyssey of various, like her staying in hotels sometimes.
Is that right?
Her coming back and then working on it. Them working on like, and so what she told me after the fact, they're married now. They got married after this.
So They were not married.
Dad was very on record about being against marriage, as a principle. He was like, it's silly. You shouldn't invite lawyers into this. Like, it's none of their business what you do. Every day should be a choice. Really, he was like trying to have one foot out the door kind of thing. That was like mostly what it was about, probably. He made some good arguments, but you know, I do think there's something to be said about like, why are you inviting lawyers into your life, into your relationships? There is something there. But you know, his real motivation was like he never pictured himself in this situation. I was definitely an accident. I always
Is that right?
Definitely.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, we talk openly about it. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Easily, it's a running joke at Christmas. I always sing "I'm your favorite mistake" to him. I'm your favorite mistake, and he goes, "Stop it!" I go, "I'm your favorite mistake."
How are you a mistake?
Because he wasn't trying to have kids. He just was irresponsible.
You're just having fun with your mom. And
that's great. That's a cool way to say it. And the
I could have said it way worse.
Sick.
Bro.
Awesome.
I could
have said it. More therapy. So the cool way to do that. So he was, no, mom's very, she was like, oh, yeah, he didn't want kids at all. And then he found out you were a boy, and he was like, oh, interesting, a mini-me. And then he was kind of on board after that.
What about your sister? Was that planned?
She was on purpose. And, once okay. she had one kid, he was like, yeah, let's do it again, okay, yeah. Like, he was stoked on being a dad. But he didn't know he wanted that. He was very, like, I'm a nomad, I'm a Rolling Stone, I don't really. So
your mom forced him to own up because she had
no,
found
she didn't.
Something.
She did this thing where she's like, look, I'm ready, I'm having a baby. You can be as involved as you want.
No,
I have
I'm
money.
Sorry. Yeah. I mean the cheating.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
So did and he admitted it. He came clean, and they really
immediately.
Worked
and
on
he,
it.
You know, it's funny. Is like it's hard to be mad at him because for all his, you know, he has got a big personality and ego. He does this thing which I think was probably a good example on me as a kid, where he like when he knows he's wrong, he'll say it. So he'll go like, he'll say like, I stand corrected when you prove him wrong about something he just talked about, and I go like, that's fairly big of somebody to because nobody does that. Like nobody's like, eh, you're right. Everyone goes like, well, it's the way you said it. Like they'll just, you know, mm-hmm. fight. He'll immediately go like, oh, never mind. I was wrong. So when we found out, he's like, yep, I was being an asshole. Like he just, he didn't fight really us.
He talked to you about
it? I think there were some heated discussions between them. But when he talked to me about it, he's like, yep, men are idiots. I'm being an idiot. Your mom deserves better than this. And I was just like, I really wish you were meaner about this so I could yell at you. But I can't because you're saying what I want to say. So I just kind of like felt kind of impotent, kind of powerless to do anything because mm-hmm. he was like, he knew. And he was like, yeah, I was being an idiot.
And what did that do to you?
I numbed it out. I think after the fact, I did a lot of work on it. But I think at the time I was just like avoid, out of sight, out of mind, try not to think about it. Be there for mom as much as I can, but I don't want to hear details. I want to be numb. I don't want to look at it. I don't
never
see it.
Gave an opinion. Never.
I didn't watch the show. Like, I still haven't seen. I've seen maybe two or three episodes of the show to this day because I probably won't watch this because it's like it's listening to your own voice recorded. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, what are the two options here? I'm going to love it and become a total narcissist, or I'm going to hate it and get depressed. It's like, there's no winning. I'd rather just be blissfully ignorant. So didn't watch the show from the very beginning. And now I was like, I'm really not watching the show now.
And is that also because there's more conversation about this stuff between your mom and dad to camera to each other that you're privy to?
Oh, yeah. And I was there and there's a lot of like and this stuff that happened, obviously they didn't get everything. There's a lot
sure.
of real shit behind the scenes. But yeah, my mom was very adamant. She's like, if I'm going to be in the press for this, I want to do it. And I, you know what, like write that check. Like if I'm going to like go through this horrible, horrible experience, I'm going to be the one to break the news to everybody and talk about it on my terms with, and yeah. I'm going to go into the edit bay and edit it the way I like it. And dad was like, sure. Okay, sure. Fine. And then the real culmination of the story is my mom kind of gave him this, it's kind of like the opposite of an ultimatum. She kind of said like, look, I still love you. We have kids together. The kids are grown. So we could separate and it would be probably be fine. So she goes basically like, all I want to do is like punish you for what you did. I really am angry. And it like,
so
most,
marry me.
Well, he was, I'm getting to that. So she's like, you know, she's like, I hate that you didn't tell me. Mostly I hate you for the lying because it wasn't like he was having other families and relationships, right? It was groupie behavior. It was, so she's like, it's not that I don't get what you're getting out of this. It's validation and hooking up and it's guy shit. It's, I just wish you hadn't lied to me about it. If that's what you wanted, you should have just told me. You don't think people have wanted to date me over the years? Like I could have been out
say,
there.
Yeah.
She's like, I could have been
all
out there
due respect
and
here.
Finding
your mom is
my
gorgeous.
Situation.
Yeah, sure.
She's like, and I still could. So you're like, the lie was disrespectful on a number of levels because she's like, I could have been, you're just keeping me here at home while you're having fun. I could have been having fun. I could have met somebody. And like, you just wasted my time. So she said, but here's the thing. I still love you. And that's not going away no matter how mad I am at you for this. So here's the deal. The deal is we separate and I don't talk bad about you in the press. I'm not going to sue you. I'm not going to take half your shit. I'm good. I have money. I'm going to be fine. And we'll go, you know, the press ask, we'll be like, no, we're friends. Everything's fine. And we'll just give them nothing to talk about. And I'm not going to badmouth you and your empire is secure. Or you can knuckle down and marry me and do the real, do it for real this time. And then I get all your passwords and to everything you own, email and phone and everything. And I get to check whenever I feel like it. And so, and she was like, I was like, why didn't you want to like actually get your revenge? And she goes, if I had threatened him with anything and he stayed, I would have never known why he stayed. Was it fear of consequences or was it because he actually loved me?
Right.
Never would have known. I had That's to take, great. She had to take the consequences off the table if she really wanted to know how he felt. She goes, here's a free pass. Go be groupie guy. We'll be friends. We'll hang out. We're going to have a great relationship. It'll be fine. No consequences to you. Or you can marry me. Which one do you actually want? Because I don't want you to feel trapped here. That's not fun for me. I don't want you to be here because, oh, if I don't, she'll do this and that and the other. Make a real choice in a vacuum. And I want to see what you actually want to do. So then he proposed. And he proposed on the air. The producers were like way, it was on the beach or something, which is his least favorite fucking place. His stupid hair is blowing in the wind. He's got like this open collar and he's wearing like cowboy boots. And he's like, I fucking hate this. He hates wind because it like messes up his hair. He's just, and he gets on one and he goes like, oh my God. And he's just like, and it's like the silliest looking proposal ever. And they just did like telescopic lens from shore. They didn't like, and they had mics on. So they filmed the whole thing. And he's been, as far as we know, pretty much great since then. That was like 2011, I think, October.
Okay, so over 10 years.
Yeah.
How did your mom build trust back up again? Did she go out on the road with him for a little bit? Or she was like, no, if you're going to be a horrible person, you're just going to be a horrible person.
No, but she's like, I don't have trust. You fucking let me verify whenever I feel like it. And he's like, sure, fine, good, great.
Did you ever see him cry? You ever see your father cry?
Yeah, mostly at sad movies. When it comes to real shit, he goes inward.
Even during that, you never saw tears?
I think I saw him get fighting back mistiness. I saw mom cry a number of times.
Yeah.
But she's like this tough. She like gets the cry over with. She's one of these, but she goes like, okay, I'm good. And she just like, she gets it out real quick and then she just moves the fuck on and goes right to anger. She's like, you know, they're both like on their own from a young age. So they were just like, she was a child of like, I think 8 siblings. And she just like moved to the US at like 14.
From
she
where?
Opened to Newfoundland, Canada. Okay. She was like a beauty queen in Canada for a while. She was like a Miss Ottawa. And then she moved to the States. She's like, peace, I'm out. Started a bar before she was old enough to drink.
Really?
Yeah, fake ID and shit. Shannon's Bar. And then, and then Hef. And then they met on the front porch of the mansion at a party.
Your dad, that's where your dad and mom met?
Yeah. And again, people always see this and they're like, how did you not see this coming? It's like, you weren't there. Dude, you didn't see this guy. He is a really good father and like very devoted kind of guy. I did not go over a thing.
That's okay.
He's like a devoted, like papa kind of guy. So when you experience him 90% of the time that way, and then you see him in interviews acting a fool, you go, oh, that's the job. Like he's acting a fool and that's the game and it's a character. And it is, but he's, you know, famous since you're 25, you believe your character after a while and you kind of like the attention. And
because he's get acting, it. Like, he's done so many different
things. My mom's
things
not an idiot. Too. She's like, you know, she's like, I know what you guys get out of this. She's like, I know what groupies does for it. Makes you feel like you're a god or something. Like, you, how many times have groupies fucked over like really powerful people? And by fucked over, I mean their decision making fucked them over. Like Schwarzenegger and all these people, like, you feel like you're king of the world when people desire you, right? So it's not like she didn't get it. Her thing that made her not just leave, I think, was he didn't have another main, he didn't have like another girlfriend in another house.
Just some one-offs.
With another family. It was just, he was getting his validation kicks and it still really hurt her. I'm not trying to minimize that. But I think that was the reason she was even open to talking
that
about
that he didn't love someone else.
He didn't.
Probably
he really
crushed
didn't.
Her.
He truly
loved
did.
Someone else.
He had nothing resembling their relationship anywhere else. And I'm sure we've all heard of these guys who have done that. They have like the house down the street.
I've had people come on here and tell me they had a whole other family somewhere else.
I think that would have been absolute. And she thought this was a deal breaker. But yeah, the ultimatum was the thing, which I've never heard of someone do before, where they go, no, you're going to be fine. Either way, you'll be fine. Now choose. So I thought it was kind of cool of her and pretty, more patience than I would have had probably in that situation.
I was going to just about to ask you, like, what a curious what you did you ever have a one-on-one with your dad about this stuff?
A number of times, yeah. I mean, he says the same things all the time. He's like, men are children, we're idiots, like we, you know, we chase this dream, we're morons. He says, like, men shouldn't be considered adults until they're 45. Like, he always says shit like that. And I'm kind of go like, yeah, kind of, a little bit. A lot of us, especially in Hollywood, I think I had a number of, like, missed development landmarks because of the show, probably.
Like what? Like,
I don't think I grew up really until, like, 29, 28, probably. Because I always felt like a kid. I just never really felt fully developed. And I think my judgment wasn't very good. Like, wasn't as good as it should have been at, like, 25.
Yeah.
Just various things. I was like, I definitely still felt like a teenager. And I think TV shows keep you there, like, mentally. So, yeah.
And how do you feel about your parents' relationship now? They're good, right?
Oh, they're great. He's like extra doting now because I think he has that, oh, I almost lost this feeling.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to die with this person. So he's like, she's like, because she's still the same like ass-kicking person she always was. She always goes like, will you stop fucking chewing? And then he'll turn to me and goes, isn't she great? Isn't she? And she goes, She goes, sometimes I want to fucking murder you. And he goes, there's no one like her. There's nobody. She's and I go, she just said she wanted to kill you. And he goes, I know. Isn't that awesome? Like, he's just like doting. Actually, here is a text from recently. Does this bother you?
Not at all.
I should have put this on airplane mode, but I just screenshotted this stupid. Yesterday, she was, they were watching like Dateline NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, The whole thing was like someone got choked to death, and she sent me this photo of him like on the floor with like furniture knocked over, and she said, I was practicing how to choke out your father, but it didn't work. It was on Dateline. And we're like, what? And then Dad goes, yeah, she was practicing how to kill me by choking me. She made me get on the ground. She climbed on top and put her legs over my arms and put her hands on my neck, but I tipped her over. And I was like, what, guys, this is not a good idea. She goes, we saw it on Dateline.
How old are they
and
now?
And the cop said it's one way you wouldn't be able to tell if she was if you smothered somebody. Oh, yeah. So we were trying to test it. I go, are you fucking, this is jackass shit. This is like, you're going to die.
That's what they're doing at home.
So I said, why? She said, so I said, why when she didn't she wrap her legs around his head and pull them back and just tip them over? Your dad thought because he was much heavier, so he tried it and Dad can get out of it. So don't worry. He got out of it. I went over there and he's like, no, she really choked me, like a lot. Like she pressed on my windpipe. And I was like, cool, great, good for you guys.
Sick, man. That's good, though. That's good. I mean, man, a Hollywood fucking marriage that lasts that long.
It's because they don't act like, they're not really a Hollywood marriage at home.
Yeah.
They're not. They're like, they're big dorks in footy pajamas. It's just the, you know, he's addicted to, he has one addiction. He never did drugs or anything. He has one addiction, and that's like attention, I think. And, you know, that feeling he gets on whatever. And think about it. If you were 22 and then that happened to you, how fucking crazy, dude, would you be? I'd be insane.
I would have fucked my dick off and I'd have had AIDS 5-6 times.
Yeah, I'd be the king dead. Of AIDS.
Oh, so they, God, yeah. That's what they call me.
And
yeah.
AIDS squared. But like, no, it's, oh, God, think about yeah. the state of mind to 22. Remember, like,
can't even.
If you got attention in school, now multiply that by 10 million. And can't I'm a little crazy from the amount that I experienced this 16. Can't even imagine how all these guys are eccentric. I was talking to Tom, has this bit about how like McConaughey and all these guys are really weird people. Like whenever they make social media, Johnny Depp made an Instagram and he like, they're weird. They don't talk normal. They speak with this weird affectation and they second Garth Brooks, the whole thing. That Garth is dad. Like that's, he's weird because how could you not be? You don't have a real conversation with anyone ever. For like 40 years, you know, everyone knows your name. And it's like this weird second guessing and seeing yourself through their eyes. You go insane. You become an eccentric weirdo. I think, yeah, humans were not meant to handle that level of attention.
But also for him to avoid alcohol, drugs in a rock and roll, in a, one of the,
I think it was like a point of pride for him though. Like,
but I mean, one of the biggest rock and roll bands in the world through the 60s, 70s, 80s. I mean, Jesus Christ, the drugs that must have been floating around.
But it wasn't tempting
nonstop.
Him. He was disgusted by it from the top.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like he resisted temptation. He was like, ugh, like he never liked it. He never liked the look. He liked being articulate. He doesn't like feeling like he's not going to say the cleverest thing.
Right.
Which he rarely does. But
Penich is a Jewish. It's good, bro. Dude, like, dude, that's the one he shared with me.
Street
right
jokes immediately.
Yells it across the room to me, right? That's the first thing he said. Ryan, what's 10 inches in Jewish?
Yeah. Oh, he'll do that in like a restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, have you heard Segura's bit where he's like his dad at like a restaurant and he goes, the waiter is Asian. And he goes, how weird are you about to be with him? Like,
yeah.
What are you about to say? And he goes, like, you Chinese? And he goes, what does that have to do with anything? And he goes, like, no, I'm Korean. He goes, oh, I was in Vietnam. Again, what nothing the fuck? He's like, what? I'm just making conversation. It's like there's a certain generation, and then you add fame to that, and you get real weird. And he goes, like, what? It's everyone's really so sensitive. I go, point, no, you're yeah fucking weird, bro. You're weird. That's why they're looking at you weird, because you're strange. But I love him. He's great.
Everybody's good. Everybody's on solid footing.
And I see him all the time. We hang out.
Yeah, you guys came to the comedy show together.
Oh, yeah.
Which also, I wanted to say thank you for that, because
thanks for letting us in.
Pulling man all the ego and names and titles and what everybody does out of this. I love when dads and sons come to my shows together, man.
Oh, that's nice.
It fucking
I was going to say, thanking me for coming to your show me is kind of weird.
When I do the meet and greets and they come up and it's like, hey, it's my dad I brought. I'm like, oh, I wish I could go to a show with my dad. So it was really nice to see
what's
you
your
two
relationship
together. He's dead.
I mean, what was the – you just never got a chance or –
He died when I was 16, so gotcha. I didn't really get to do – I did get to go with him, though. I will say this. I got to go see – the Beastie Boys and Run DMC on the Together Forever tour, and nice. I was like 14 because he took us to that.
Nice.
So I got that one.
That memory. It's
but
good.
Then that's it.
Yeah. But I mean, you.
It's just nice.
You're talking
to
me about the trauma of being on a show when I was 16. You went through more shit right there. I mean, that's.
Yeah, but I didn't have to. If I would have had a camera
oh, no,
in front of my face.
Oh, no, you were financially
into.
No, people not were any paying of that. People were mean to me on Twitter. Who the fuck? Come on. What am I complaining about? I have nothing to complain about. I have a great
life.
Yeah,
well, I hear you.
It's all relative, man.
Like, you're right about that.
My point of view is I'm paranoid about things, but like, you know, there's people at our gate. Like, it's kind of reasonable to be a little paranoid. So I have no complaints. My life's great. Like, I have a really good life. And mostly my problem is like feeling kind of guilty for having such a good life because I didn't earn it. I was born into it. And even if I make my own strides, I still had a huge leg up from day one. So me and Christina always talk about like the liberal guilt of all that, the kind of like feeling like shit for being lucky. And, you know, my therapist always just goes like, yeah, but that's kind of selfish too, to feel like shit. It's like you're it's still a narcissistic spiral. It's just a negative one.
Well, I also
you're still
feel like
wondering about your own, you know.
That exists on both ends of the spectrum. You can feel like shit for being lucky. You also feel like shit for being unlucky.
Yeah. And it's like,
you
also
know
like,
I mean?
It's
where
selfish,
is that?
It's selfish to like feel like shit for being lucky and not enjoy being lucky because like
God, so many people
the other guy
unlucky
would I mean,
right.
Give
hell
it to
yeah
me then like
yeah
don't why are you wasting it with this navel gazing nonsense like so I just try to just don't be an asshole and you know don't be a like a silly silver spoon shithead rocking around thinking I'm
you've
God's
also
gift
seen enough examples of that too to
that's
know
definitely
yeah
true it's
yeah
my nightmare is like I've met a couple of these people, and I won't name names, but like some sons and daughters of really think that they're fucking hot shit because of nothing they did.
Right.
And that's a nightmare. And so I think I actively try to avoid being that dude. I hope I'm successful at avoiding being that dude because that dude sucks. And there's a lot of them.
All right. This is your first time here. And I told you before we started at the end, I was going to ask you advice you give to your 16-year-old self. So,
oh, man. I'm sorry. I feel like I rambled too much.
You didn't ramble. This is what you're supposed to do. It's your episode. Can you imagine if I just talked the whole time? What fucking kind of episode would
well,
that
you're
be
a professional talker, probably more cohesive.
Yeah. I am a professional talker. Yeah. No one's ever said that.
That's what you do for a living. I feel like it'd probably be a better episode.
That's going to be my new credit.
There was some baritone kid on Sickler's podcast just rambling about his fucking non-problems. Couldn't even get a fucking...
Didn't seem like a professional talker to me.
He
I don't
couldn't
know
even come in with a bit. He just like... this kid just kept nonstop. Kid, I'm 33. It's fucking... advice to my 16-year-old self. Yeah, don't Google yourself even sooner. Like, don't...
Listen, stop right there for a moment, please. Yeah. That's great advice.
Like
now, one person has come on and talked about the use of technology
Yeah, don't yeah,
talk about it. You're a younger generation.
Think about the type of person. I mean, do you know anyone that leaves like negative YouTube comments for fun?
No.
I don't know a single person. Like, who are these people, right? So I think if you can't read that shit, because it's like, these are not, this is not life. Like, this is somebody's quick trigger finger response. You can't, I mean, that sits with you if you read it. Literally don't. What's that old, I think it's an Andy Warhol quote, don't read what they write about you, just measure it in inches. And it's just like, don't read about yourself and don't navel gaze about yourself. Don't, everyone else is doing the same thing about themselves. Just go about your day. Don't read, don't like seek out your, how you appear in other people's eyes, I think.
That's great.
Yeah.
Dude, thank you very much for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I'm a big fan.
Will you please promote whatever you can again?
I'm on Instagram most of the time. I barely fuck with Twitter. If I start to launch a thing under my own name, I'll tweet it. So both platforms, it's Nick T. Simmons. That's pretty much all I do. I don't read Twitter. I post on Instagram now and then. So go there. I'll launch something at some point. But I've been enjoying the privacy, so I think I'm going to keep that going for a minute.
The anonymity.
But if you want to see what I'm kind of, anonymity. You did it.
I think I got it.
Nailed it.
I think I got it.
But yeah, I enjoy my kind of quiet life, and I've been doing this secret thing that's been really fulfilling. So I'm going to keep that going for a little while. But if I decide to release it, it'll be on there. So
great.
Or I'll try to come back here if you'll have me.
Please, I will for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you, dude. Thank you for coming. Thanks, man. And thank you all, as always. Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.